Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support.
Hi everyone, it's Jo and I have Justine with me this evening.
Good evening.
And it's a pleasure to welcome one of our old trustees, Mr. Ian Beverley. Hi, Ian.
Hiya. Old.
Well, old in the sense that you're no longer a trustee.
Just wondering if it was in brackets or quotes.
How are you doing, mate?
I'm very well, thank you, Jo. Great to... and thanks for the invitation. Thanks.
No problem.
My pleasure.
Couldn't resist when I heard you on the past pupils AGM, so it had to be done, really. So we are here to talk to Ian about his radio career. So well, you know, doesn't have to be paid to be a career, does it? So do you want to take us back to your school days? Because I know we went to the same school, but I know that your interest in radio and presenting kind of goes all that way back, doesn't it?
Very much, yes, it does. Way back. I think really my interest in radio started actually, well, listening to the radio during the summer holidays. I mean, it's an area I didn't necessarily expand on with our when we're talking with the past pupils. But one thing you found when you were away at school is that when you went home during the holidays, I found this quite a bit, that I didn't know so many people in your local area. So you spend a lot of time at home, either obviously with your family or on your own. So I spent a lot of the time listening to the radio. By chance, that kind of sort of just got my interest going in that and the sound. And I was already into music anyway. So music plus the spoken word and things like that put together, radio, excellent, loved it. And just got more and more interested in it. Now, that then kind of turned itself into thoughts of future, what was I going to do, future, you know, at school when they start to ask you, what would you like to do when you grow up?
Oh, yes.
At the time you said, well, I am grown up. What are you on about?
Yeah.
No, you're not. And we had at St. Vincent's, I think she was the head of juniors, wasn't she, Mrs. Pope?
Yeah, I think so.
Her husband, Mr. Pope, did quite a bit of careers things and a bit of job skills and things like that. And he used to come in and it was the age-old question, what would you like to do? Now, I know I'd been asked this before by other people. I said, I want to do radio. And people were saying, and you would say, you know, think differently, you know, well, what about going into an office or on a switchboard or something like that? And I thought, no, I want to do radio. And Mr. Pope was, he asked me, and he was somebody who took you very seriously and kind of gave you the confidence in thinking, okay, right, you want to do that, let's explore it, let's see what you need to be able to do that. So we did things like interview skills, we did communications and things like that. But one thing that he did for me, which I'd never forget, was he organised a visit to the local BBC station, which was Radio Merseyside. And that was a great experience and really sort of fired my enthusiasm even more, because it had a chance to go and have a chat with the people that worked there, go and actually sit in while a show was taking place. And it was just great. And the thoughts he'd put behind that was just brilliant, was just really, really good. And that kind of fired my enthusiasm at school. Another part at school that kind of fired my enthusiasm was our music teacher as well, Mr. Wilson at St. Vincent's. Mm. I've never claimed to be any good at music necessarily, but he saw something when we came to the end of the first year that I was there and we took our exams. It was never felt, he freely admitted to me afterwards that he thought I was useless at music.
Oh.
and he said, no, I didn't expect you, and I didn't do too badly in the exams. And he came to his, you know, so he fired my enthusiasm in music. Now I knew, and it was realistic with me, I had a real passion, still do, for music, and that enthusiasm never got as far as being any massively brilliant at playing any instruments. I've played instruments, things like the keyboard, and I used to play in the school orchestra on the trombone. But that it wasn't that good to sort of take forward as being any really sort of competent at that. So the next best thing, again, when my enthusiasm for radio was there, was, well, you can play music, can't you, by playing music on the radio. So that sort of encapsulated both of those. So that's how it all started, really, at school.
Excellent. And did you do anything with that sort of following your school days? You know, did you go to college?
Yes and no. When I went on to Worcester for a year from then, and they had a kind of sort of underground station, so to speak. I didn't have much involvement in that for one reason or the other, but it's kind of not sort of dampening my enthusiasm to get involved in that. Then it just all seemed to disappear, really, because when we were talking careers there, that's when that idea was kind of you was pushed away. Oh, be realistic about it. Do this. Do something different. So whereas my listening to the radio just continued, and my enthusiasm for that, the opportunity for doing anything about it and pushing that forward was kind of not there. It just wasn't there at the time. And I was then sort of concentrating on, okay, I've been told, you know, these other things are more possible, then I'll go and do these other things. So yeah, it just for many years after then, I went on to university, on to postgrad doing my teaching, and then on to actually doing paid work as a teacher. During those times, it I didn't really follow any practical sort of things on doing radio. It only was when I was teaching at RNC in Hereford, then the opportunity came up again, because there was a kind of informal radio station being run there by Paul Green, one of the tutors there, who I got on with very well, and a lot of the music guys as well. And I went and sneaked and did a bit of voluntary there, and I thought, well, I got the bug again. I want to do this again. So brilliant. It was a great, and it just reinvigorated that wanting to do that. And it just got stronger and stronger after that, really.
So when you left RNC, what happened next?
When I left RNC in 2000, keep in mind, we're shooting ahead years here. And it was 2009 when I left RNC, and I moved. I'm originally from Lincolnshire, but I'd met my current wife Elaine by then. So I moved up to Yorkshire, where we both now live, should say. More concentrating around the times of getting settled, getting things sorted out. Now, around that time, I was very aware of the emergence of internet radio. There were stations springing up here, there, and everywhere. But you know, I listened to bits from time to time, but I never saw the opportunity at the time of becoming involved. I think because, one, there was a lot going on in my life in terms of settling, trying to find another job, getting things organised in that. Two, it just didn't feel right. Potential opportunities just didn't feel right for me to get involved at that time. So it did take a few years before the right opportunity came along for me to do so. I knew people who were involved. I'd spoken to people who were involved. But again, I'm very keen, you know, in any opportunity for that opportunity to feel right, to feel open, and to feel in the right place, rather than sort of say, right, oh, there's a station there, I'll go and see if I can join that. And if it doesn't feel right to me, then I won't. And it's equally so. If you approach somebody to join something, it's like going for a job. If they don't feel you're right, then it's not the right place, is it? So it was about 2014. Well, a few years beforehand, I'd caught up with an old mate from Worcester, Mark, who who I'd known since 1990 when I was at Worcester for that year. And he was heavily into music, heavily into radio and things like that. So I'd started listening to him. I think he'd just started on internet radio on a station called The Phoenix.
I know it, yeah.
He'd started on that. And I was listening to him and I was sort of thinking, right, yeah, I really want to do something about this because I want to get involved in that. And equally at the same time, I was also in touch with a guy called Danny who was involved. Oh, crumbs, I can't remember the name of the station now.
Another was it Top Tunes?
I was going to say, was it Top Tunes FM? Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. And he had a really, really, and I've got a lot to thank him about because he really, you know, from a technical point of view, we talked a lot about the technical, what was needed, what you needed to have, all of that kind of things. And he was a massive, massive help in terms of really pushing that on. So, yeah, I mean, with those two streams, it really got me thinking, well, I'd like to get involved, but it's just finding the right opportunity. So step forward again to about March 2015, and Mark and a few others were forming a new station called Ultimate Radio Experience, as it was at the time. And I'd asked, look, are you welcoming new people? Are you welcoming anybody who's interested, who's wanting to join? He said, yeah, absolutely. Because he knew I had a great love for music and sort of also a great love for radio. So that's where that opportunity came. So, yeah, and then that's when all the fun started, really. That's when, when my sort of practical involvement came in and all the starting of buying the equipment and getting set up and demos and then finally getting the opportunity in September 2015.
And wow,
there you go, ever since.
Gosh. And how do you can you explain a bit about the equipment? I mean, obviously I use this because I'm a radio presenter myself, but a bit about the equipment that you use just so that people...
Yep, sure. I mean, to broadcast, I mean, you can with broadcasting on the internet, essentially, obviously, you need a computer to start. Yeah. That is otherwise you're going to have to find some other magical way of doing it. You can get away with having a computer, a microphone, and an ability to a card to stream out onto the internet. Doesn't sound very good though. So what I have here, if I explain, I'm sort of shifting my head around, which is a great on a podcast, really. And
we'll let you off.
Start pointing. So it's a bit like having a ventriloquist on the radio, isn't it?
Really? Yeah.
With a computer, essentially, what I've got is next to the computer, I've got a mixer.
Yeah.
Mixer, what that does is takes the sound takes the sound into the computer, out of the computer, onto the internet. And with the mixer, you have, I've turned my microphone down there, I went blank. You have sliders, so they control the different streams of audio. So for one, I've got my microphone plugged into the mixer, which is making very funny noises like that.
Yes, it does.
So I control the microphone volume. So if I turn that down, but I also have a channel where the music comes through. So I sort of with the slider, hence when you hear somebody introduce music, I have that down to a level so the music comes in underneath your voice and over your voice and down again. So there, that's kind of, I mean, you could go very, very much, very detailed into a mixer because there's lots and lots of settings you have to have in the right place to sort of make it sound good. It is a bit like a jigsaw puzzle in some ways, is setting up for going on to doing an internet broadcast, because you have as well as doing the sound for radio, you've also got the assistive technology. If you're an assistive technology user, you've got, as I've got JAWS on my computer. So the speech is, you've got to kind of assign that to a different sound so it doesn't go out on the air.
Yeah.
I've got a Braille display in front of me as well. So, you know, trying to listen to music and Jaws at the same time can be an interesting.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I can imagine.
Definitely.
There. So with the Braille backup there, that I can read what's on the list on the software. Now, mm-hmm. I'm kind of aware that's a very, very rude, very crude sort of explanation. To broadcast on the internet, on the computer, you need a couple of, well, more than a couple of bits, but essentially the main ones are a couple of pieces of software. One is a streaming, so what you call a streaming software, which basically you've got a program to sort of that will take your instruct you to go on air. So you've got to sort of program it into your station's main sort of computers, so it will then stream it out onto the internet. But also you've got something called, and we use a piece of software called Station Playlist,
right.
which is basically what it is. It acts as a list, so it's like a list going downwards. So you on your show will basically put everything on your show down on that list. So you get a song, it's down, and you want to play the song after it, goes after it. You want to play a song after that, it goes after that. Anything in between that, it depends how you do it. You can put jingles and things like that way. There are other ways of doing it, but that's a very, very crude way, a very sort of basic way, I should say, of just explaining what that's all about. There are sort of other variations to using that as well. So it's can get, the thing is, if we're encouraging people to get involved, that the last thing I want to do is to sort of say, okay, you've got to come in, you've got to have a degree in computer science. Or, no,
yeah,
you certainly don't.
And loads of money.
Like that,
because no, you don't. Yeah.
No.
So how do you access the music in? So for example, you know, you don't want every show to have the same music. So no. You obviously need access to lots and lots of music.
Yes. Speaking personally, I've got quite a large library of music there. Anyway, just to keep us legal as well. I know speak for our station, which the station I must mention them, because just skipping on through the radio history is that Ultimate Radio Experience became Ultimate Radio, and that's the station I work for, a volunteer and present for, part of the team there. In terms of the music, each station should have licenses to stream music, so they will pay a license to stream the music legally in the country of where we are. So but in terms of the music we have, then I have a quite a large library, but also we amongst the station there's quite a large resource amongst
you share
to be able to do that. Luckily, lots and lots and lots of things, you know, majority of music is available digitally now anyway. I've been known, I've got the side of me here, I've got a rarity, a CD, which
I've got shelves of them, Ian, downstairs.
With a cop onto my computer recently to make digital so that we're able to do that as well. I know people who, I mean, we're talking about the mixer earlier, what a mixer enables you to do, because it's got different sound channels. You could plug a CD player in and play from a CD. You could even do it from vinyl, and know people.
Oh, right, okay.
It does make it more complex, and that means you've got a lot more to think about.
Yeah.
And if you're looking to broadcast, you know, simply the bet is that you can't compromise in sound, because you know when you're broadcasting, you've got to have. To attract people, the sound has to be good. It's pointless sort of going out there just sounding all fuzzy and things like that. You've got to, because you are trying to compete and trying to attract listeners, so the sound has got to be good. So setting up with as good a sound as you can is important. And I forgot my point now. I'm going to make.
I think you were saying like keeping it sort of as straightforward, weren't you?
But try and keep the process as simple as possible, because when you get on there, there's lots to think about when you're there, because it's not just a case of Well, hopefully it's not just a case of sort of talking, just you've got your planned show, you've got what you're doing, but also you're interacting with people through Twitter, through email, at that as well. So you've got plenty to sort of concentrate on and plan, and you're constantly producing what you're doing, sort of shaping out, knowing how it's sounding, knowing how you want it to sound, how you want it to go, all of that. Really.
So what shows do you do?
Right. At present, what I do on Ultimate Radio, I do three at the weekend. Saturday night between 7 and 10, which is called Saturday Night with Bevy, which is kind of, Bevy is the name that Mark christened me years and years ago at Worcester. So it kind of stuck when we got back in touch. So it was so that stuck with that. So it's Saturday Night with, which is a 60s, 70s, 80s show, but it is absolutely crammed with features. So we have things like I have a feature called Battle of the Decades, which is all about pitching songs from the charts of this day back then against each other, people voting for them, and making it real sort of competition. And we have monthly finals, and we're going to have end of year final with that. Lots of involvement, lots of requests, lots of sort of memory features and things like that. Sunday afternoons is a show which I started on Ultimate Radio Experience with back in 2015 called Straight Up the 70s, which has moved from a Saturday night to a Sunday afternoon. That started just primarily because of the lockdown, because we're looking to sort of fill space to give people more of an outlet to come in and listen. So that is on a Sunday afternoon, and again, it's about involvement. It's about what people want, and hopefully, with features and things, all that ties that together. Friday night, I do. At the moment, it's what we call a voice track show. That's a different element of broadcasting, where you're not live, but you do on our playout system. You can program it to play songs, and you'd sort of just drop in your voice, what we call a recorded voice track, in between the songs to sort of say what it is and things like that. It's not as kind of as crude as that. It's there are features and things on that particular show. And at the moment, I'm presenting two breakfast shows a week on the station as well. So. Wow. 70.
And all of that whilst working as well, doing a paid job. When I said it was a career, I meant it, because it absolutely is. It's very dedicated.
I'm sure Justine can agree. I mean, it's an absolute passion, isn't it?
It is.
I know, Justine, you've been doing it for many a year, haven't you?
I started in 2010, although a bit like you, it's quite weird listening to you, because I was very much the same, wanted to get into hospital radio, and then I was told I had to be over 18, so it's sort of just, and then I sort of started broadcasting in 2010, and then had a sort of a break from 2012 to last year, really. And it is a passion, I think there's a sort of whole, I don't know about for you, Ian, but for me, it's like, it's not just sort of getting on there and doing, it's putting the playlist together, researching the features, if there's things you want to, include. It's not just going on and doing the show and coming off again, is it?
That's exactly it, isn't it? Yeah, it's exactly that, because if you go on and just sort of play, right, okay, this is a song, this is a song, this is a song. You might as well just go onto Spotify or onto Amazon and just ask for a playlist. Internet radio especially, gives you the scope, and should give you the scope, to be able to create more and to create that involvement, to shape the shows in exactly the way you want it. Try different things. Try things out. You're not, unless it depends how the station's set up, depends on the formats and things like that. But it gives you the scope to really be as creative as you can, really. And that, to me, is fantastic. It's being able to try different things, If it doesn't work out, well, okay, well, try again. Yeah, but yeah. But it's that, and it's really, really good fun. And I'm, you know, I'm part of a fabulous team.
Yeah.
With our station, and Justina, I guess you say yeah, this for yours.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's great because you're part of that, and it's part of something really, really. Mm. That's enabled you to do something that yeah, you really love doing.
The camaraderie between you as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
definitely.
So yeah,
fabulous.
Really good fun.
I can tell how passionate you are about it from your talk. You know, from your talk the other night for our AGM, and you know, and tonight you just you can tell that you absolutely love it. You have to, don't you? You must have to do, because you're not getting paid for doing it. So you've got to love it, haven't you?
You've got to
be passionate.
You do. You've got to. But the other thing also, I think the point I made the other night as well, was I think it's a great platform for anybody who's shy. Like, I mean, listening to now, you think, no, shy, never. but it's true. I always find it hard, and I'm not ashamed of saying this. I always find it hard going into sort of a group situation. If you know, obviously it's difficult now with lockdown and things like that, and going sort of seeing people and things like that. But I find those situations so hard. Mm. So actually having this scope where you're able to communicate, it doesn't mean you don't want to communicate with people, but you just find it hard in particular environments, unless you know people really well. Then it is really difficult. This is why I found teaching easier, because you're kind of in control of that situation. Mm. In this, you are kind of a bit more in control of the communication, really, and it gives you it's much easier than going into a room with a group of people sitting down and making conversation. I just find that really difficult. So having this outlet is great for someone who I would kind of call a shy eccentric, really, because it's in there, but it don't come out.
So we need to ask, if people want to listen to you, how can they do that?
Right. Okay. Yep. That's I would definitely encourage it. I mean, explore internet radio. There's so much out there to offer.
Absolutely.
Ultimate Radio, that's the name of the station. You can get us on TuneIn, which is a TuneIn app you can download onto your mobiles. You can get us on your smart speakers by asking to play Ultimate Radio UK from TuneIn. You can go for us there. And also there is a stream through our website, ultimateradio.co.uk, because there's a live stream through there as well. And the station, you know, plays music right across the board. Really lots and lots of different, and lots of involvement, lots of chat, lots of opportunities to get involved in requesting, in terms of the features, in terms of just saying hello. One of the things and I don't know, we're all very, very keen about is to make people feel involved. One of the things I hate to sort of concentrate and sort of mention a negative, but I'm very keen not, I don't like cliques. I don't mm-hmm. like, I don't like sort of feeling in a situation where, there's so many people there, then I can't get involved in that. I know I've been in that situation before in the past. And I'm really, really keen. I know we're all very keen not to have that, people feel that. So anybody, absolutely everybody is, I'd love to make everybody feel welcome.
Yeah.
And, you know, music is a great escapism. And if you can, you know, come along and have a listen, it would be, you know, great to have your escape away with us, eh?
Absolutely, definitely. Brilliant. Fabulous. Thank you so much, Ian. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah. Okay, no, thank you for inviting us.
Our pleasure.
Nice to be back in VI. Yay.
I know. Yay.